To create amazing content, you need to know how to marry the art and the science. It's not just about having on-point visuals and telling an amazing story, but doing so in a way with a clickable title and a structured format that increases watch time. Now, I want to be able to go through the art and the science and things you can do to marry them together to make your content A1. Hey guys, Frisk here. Welcome back to the Creator's Toolkit, and today we're going to talk about how to marry the art and the science of creating content to make the best pieces of content you can possibly make every single day. So, first off, we need to define and talk about what the art and what the science exactly is, and then talk about some examples of how you might lean too heavily to one or the other, and how you could be more balanced in your approach to both of those very important sides to creating content, and what it's going to do for you in the end. Now, this is something that I learned, you know, quite early on in my professional content career, but my unprofessional career, growing up, and even when I, you know, in college, I had no concept of this. I was just going off of gut. Just going off my intuition, which is great. You know, the creativity and artistic side can do a lot. But if you don't look at the data and if you don't look at the scientific side, you might be running into a lot of problems. So we're going to split off the two first. We're not going to talk about both simultaneously. We're going to talk about the art first and exactly what that means. And I know probably a lot of you guys are familiar with this concept. So the art. Now, the art is about the visual style. It's about the creativity. It's about how good of a story you can tell. Are you doing something that's completely different than other people are doing to stand out? So this particular, you know, method of creating content, this side of it, you know, left brain, right brain, the art side, is what I see a lot of on YouTube, you know, on you know, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I see a lot of creators out there that have the potential. They have the potential to make it big because they have really good artistic creativity into the content they make. As a matter of fact, like as I've, you know, kind of discovered a lot of creators through time, ones that have been maybe creating for years upon years, they've had the artistic side nailed down. Meaning that they're kind of pulling up a camera, they're taking some cinematic shots, they're able to look down the barrel of the lens and say some really compelling things that is interesting. But they might have been doing it, creating videos every day over and over and over again, but just not getting traction. They're not getting the attention, they're not deriving, you know, the awareness they need for their artistic content to be found. And that's where the science comes in. We'll talk about science now. So the science side is the data side. It's knowing how to get attention to the specific content that you make. It's anywhere from the title or what you do in the structure of your content or how you initiate when people click through, what do they see in the first 3 to 5 seconds? And even how it's structured to, you know, increase watch time. How long is someone going to watch? You know, right now the average on YouTube is about 4 minutes, but ultimately those that can get, you know, get individuals to watch longer than that, to get people to watch their content longer than that, will win because they will be recommended against other forms of videos. That's why you see creators creating 10, 15, 20, even 30-minute videos because it increases watch time, which allows you to be more discoverable due to recommended and then also improvements into search when people search for specific topics. And on the topic of search, that's another important part of the science. You know, being able to know what people are searching for and then being able to create titles that specifically garner or reach those individuals. So we've talked briefly about what the art and the science side is, but I want to be able to give you not just explanations, but some examples and some scenarios and things that I discovered throughout my career that, you know, have in where I've learned and changed on my both artistic and my scientific side of creating content. And I hope it helps you guys out. Firstly, for the art. Now, I'm going to say some things you some of you guys have maybe heard me say a lot, but art, you know, creativity is about innovation. It's about doing things that others aren't doing. It's standing out into a crowd, putting together a work of art that's had ultimate form of craftsmanship put towards it. And we'll talk about a little specific things that is within that, you know, like I said, applied to myself. But I want to, before we get into that, I want everyone to know that the artistic side is probably the most challenging side of this. You know, the data side, like, we can teach anybody how to look at data and know what to look for. But the artistic and creativity side, like the creative side, is the most important part of it all. Because ultimately, if you don't have the talent to create art or, you know, have creative content, then it's really going to be difficult to apply data and then to naturally get attention, awareness, you know, viewership and engagement. And so, jumping back to the art side, a few things that I've learned. Now, I'm sure you've heard me say, it's better to be different than it is to be good. And you've also heard me say that it's not about the gear and to just do it. And I don't want that to be misconstrued with this importance of art and creativity. There's still a way that you can be artistic, you know, creative and a craftsman in the way that you create content. And I want to point to one particular channel that's really, you know, kind of came out of nowhere, you know, here in the last couple of years, and it's Snapchat. You know, Snapchat, in a way, you know, it applauds amateur craftsmanship. You know, ultimately, how creative can you be with the tools that are available to you? You know, you've got a camera, you've got some filters, you've got some words, you've got a pen tool, it's like Paint. You've got a very, you know, subtle set of tools, but ultimately there's a craftsmanship and creativity that goes into it, you know, to stand out. You know, there's, you know, creators out there, you know, like Sean Duras specifically, who, you know, spent a lot of time drawing and creating, and drawing onto the specific snaps that he would take. And he was known for being artistic in that, but if you take a step back and look at it, you know, a paint tool, pen tool on a phone, you know, there's nothing too artistic really about that if you grade that against another medium. And so here's what I'll say. I don't want you guys to get caught up with your definition of art as compared to another channel. So if you're creating on YouTube, look at the bar for quality, look at the bar for art on YouTube, and then also in your niche and in your genre. And that'll give you a pretty good idea of what the acceptable range of, you know, art and craftsmanship can be. And that's a good place to start. And that's why I say just pick up the phone and do. Because right now, you know, on social, there's a lot of creators out there that the craftsmanship is in the story, which is also part of the art. And it's not so much about the visuals. It's really the message that's from within it. And the acceptable range of quality can be just with the cell phone. It can be bad lighting. It can be, you know, maybe not great audio, but as long as the message and the story is artistic and creative, you're going to be in a good spot. Now, the science is a little bit different. The science is about not being afraid to look at the numbers, to change your strategy. And I know strategy and like data and looking at numbers are kind of scary topics. They're intimidating topics, you know, for a lot of creators out there, but they truly are imperative, you know, to make your art excel. And, you know, I talked about it's anything between knowing about what people are searching for, or even to know what titles you should use, but it's even more beyond that. And, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times, that if you're, go ahead and create a bunch of content, let's just say you're doing on YouTube, and you sort all your videos by most popular, and you look at the top 10 videos, and you might see a trend, you might not. But that is a low-level form of, you know, trying to have a data-driven approach to content. Because you're looking at the top 10 videos to then suggest what more videos you should make. And I think everybody deep down engages in a sort of science. They look at the data in some way, shape, or form. They don't necessarily go deep into the analytics, but they look at data and say, what videos am I getting the most views on? What am I getting the most engagements, you know, likes, comments, shares, etc. on? And that's what they're kind of judging what they should do more or less of. But kind of what I'm talking about with science, and, you know, that's definitely a part of it. But the second part of it is being able to look a layer deeper at the analytics, you know, like I said, to change your strategy. And here are three very specific things that I learned about the science that have changed my approach dramatically. And the first ones are title composition. So I used to be able, you know, I used to take an artistic approach to writing titles, where I would think of something like really artsy or like really creative to say to draw intrigue. But, you know, kind of what I found in the phases that I'm in, you know, as a, you know, back then as a creator trying to grow, is that people don't search for those types of videos. And they also, when they see it, it doesn't compel them to click. So the science side kind of took over there. And I said to myself, okay, I need to create titles that people search for, you know, how to's and learning tutorials, tips and tricks, and trending topics and more. And then in addition to that, I also need to know when I know what people, you know, what titles I'm going to make against, you know, not being artsy, but being more scientific. I also want to look on a day-to-day basis on what are the most searched videos people are looking for. And in addition to that, too, what are the titles of other, you know, videos that creators are making, and what type of views are those getting? And what's the competition within that? And so TubeBuddy is a tool that's very, very helpful there. And I don't, you know, I'll go deeper into that later, probably in another podcast episode, because I want to be able to talk about more scientific ways, you know, and then talk about how to marry them together with actual scenarios and examples. But another scientific, you know, way to look at your content is looking in the analytics of your watch time, your retention curve. So look at your videos and look at the curves for each of your biggest videos. How many people are watching? And when are they dropping off? Are they leaving in the first 5 seconds? Are they maybe staying around for the first, you know, 30, but then after that, there's a big drop off? Well, you might want to look and see, what did you do at that 30-second mark? And how can you then improve that for the future? You know, I would start with the retention curve. That tells you how many people are watching your videos at certain times. And then you can get to see where people leave at, you know, when they exit your videos, and then you know the exact timing, and maybe try and figure out as to why they did that. And that's how you learn for the future. And, you know, why that's specifically important, why watch time or the retention graph is important, because if you get someone to click, you want them to watch as long as possible. And the more that you do that, the more watch time you'll get on a specific video. And if you were to layer all of your videos and the watch time in all your videos and compare them, you'll know what's working and what's not. All right, so now that we've defined the art and the science, I want to talk about my process and how I marry those two very important things together. So usually it starts with some research, and this is where the science side comes in first. I look at what's happening in the world right now, what videos are getting watched a lot, what videos are people searching for right now and also in the future. So right now it's Black Friday, and I know people are searching for Black Friday deals, but I'm not making any content about Black Friday, so that might not interest me. Now, however, we know people will be searching for gift ideas for the holiday. They'll be searching for help on what to get things for the holidays, or how to travel, or where to go, or places to visit, or even how to do crafts and more. And so basically just general like human psychology and behavior that happens around this time frame after Thanksgiving leading up to holiday, lets me know that there's scientifically going to be an opportunity to create around some of those topics. So I'll go out and research what videos did well last year during this time frame. What were the titles of those? What were the topics? What video, what words are being searched most? You can go to YouTube Trends, you know, Google Trends, and see what people are searching for most at any given time. It's a really important tool. And then I talked about TubeBuddy. TubeBuddy's free. If you use TubeBuddy, you can know what types of titles or topics are people searching for, and is the volume high or is it low, or is it competitive or not? And then lastly, the easiest tool of all is if you go into YouTube and you start to type a title or a topic into the search bar, it starts to auto-populate. Those will tell you some of the top searches with the words that you're choosing to give you an idea. And so that's where the science starts. And it continues into the title, but not before you have an idea. And so this is where the art side comes in. And the art side comes in, I realize that people are going to be searching for gifts. They're going to know what gifts to get for friends and family for the holidays. And so let's just say I have a baseball channel or a gaming channel, and I don't know, you know, what exactly to make, but I know that people are going to be searching for that. And so the creative side kicks in, and I'm trying to think of something that's different that no one's ever done before, or maybe someone has done, but I think I can do it better or different. And so maybe that leads me to this idea of top 10 or 5 gifts every baseball player or every gamer wants this Christmas in 2017. Now, that to me is probably a really, really interesting idea, because I don't think it's been done, and it's a really searchable title, and it hits on the trends. So let's call it 4 gifts to get 4 gifts to get every gamer, or 4 gifts to get gamers for holiday this in 2017. That's has a lot of keywords in it. That's got a lot of movement and traction in it, and that's where I start. Now I started with science, then I went to art to get an idea, then I went back to science to structure the title so it meets the strategy or meets the trending or high searchable keywords, and that's how I start. So I start every one of my videos. I have a list of about 1,000 different titles. I think of the title first, and it derives from an idea that's data-driven. And we're going to jump into what happens from there, but you know, before we do, I want to talk about composing titles. I know a lot of people just pull up a camera. We talked about this. It can be a little bit contradictory, but people just pull up a camera, record, and then they hope to maybe mend that or force it into an interesting video. And I still believe in just pulling up the camera, but before you pull up the camera, just try and think of a couple ideas. Have titles. On your notepad, on your phone, write as many titles as you can think of as they come to your head. You know, engage in the creative process. Take showers, go on walks, go on runs, whatever it takes to come up with ideas, and write them down for your next videos. So now that we have a title and idea, I jump into the next phase of, you know, marrying art and science. And it's about the structure of what I'm going to shoot, you know, the video I'm going to make. And a lot of creators out there like to think of film. They think about the 3-act structure. And I think that's a good place to start. But you're not necessarily creating films here. You're trying to create TV episodes. So I feel like that's a better flow to follow. And so we're going to talk about a principle that, you know, I've kind of come up and I coin QPA, question, promise, answer. That's from title. You know, from user takeaway to title to the structure of the video, by following, you know, the structures of TV series. And, you know, think about not an entire show, like not like Game of Thrones, all 10 episodes. Think about one specific episode. You've got short-term tension and, you know, questions in the individual's minds, and you've got long-term tension, and that's the entire series. And so TV series are really important things to practice, or episodic series, because they have the more challenging approach to try and get people to tune in every episode, where films, it's a little bit different. And so QPA, question, promise, answer, let's talk about that and how that should change and, you know, structure the flow of your video from a scientific side. And so when someone is searching for something or a video is recommended to them, you want your title and thumbnail to basically get them to ask themselves a question. And that question, you know, is very important because it draws intrigue and interest, or, you know, thought of, you know, mysteriousness to your video. Ultimately, they have a question in their head that they want answered, and they believe that your thumbnail and title is going to answer it for them. So once you've triggered them and got them to click, and you enter in, you know, they start to watch your videos, it's incredibly important that within the first 10 to 15 seconds, you deliver a promise. A promise that this, they're in the right place, and this is the video that is going to answer their question. I see a lot of creators making this mistake, a lot. They have really long, boring intros. They ask for subscribers and likes. They ask for value before they give it, or they kind of don't know how to start it off. But like I said before, you're creating a TV episode, you know, for a TV series. This isn't, you know, basically a class or an introduction where someone's just going to kind of hear you talk. And so in the first 10 to 15 seconds, you want to grab attention by delivering a promise that this video is worth their time and going to answer their question. Then, of course, throughout the phasing of the video, and you could think about the three-act structure and, you know, storytelling, but ultimately, you've got to answer that question about 66% the way through the video. I find that if you answer it too early, people just leave and you're not able to, you know, get watch time. If you wait towards the end of the video, it's really difficult because, you know, people don't want to wait that long. They're challenged and feel like, you know, you drug them along. And this is where that three-act structure comes in. A three-act structure, you know, it has these three very important points. And the third, what catapults the viewer into the third act is the climax. And the last act is the resolution. And so with this TV series or an online video or episodic video, basically your climax is the answer. And that's what you want to, you know, focus on. So about 66% in, you want to answer the question and then give some form of resolution. I see a lot of creators just end the video there, like Casey Neistat's known for answering 66% of the way in and then not even doing a resolution. He'll even cut off what he's saying early and just end the video as a very, you know, very satisfying way, which is okay too. But naturally, if you have a following, if you have a community, they may want to watch the resolution and carry out through the rest of the video, but you'll see lower retention time for that segment of the video. So now that you've got the structure of the video from a scientific side, you have a QPA and the three-act structure, and you know kind of the things that you need to trigger at different points within the video, it's back to the artistic side. And this is where the fun comes in. This is where the creativity comes in. Because you know there's a question that someone's asking. You know that you're going to deliver a promise up front. You know you're going to answer it. But everything in between is the art and the style and the craftsmanship that's going to get people to continue to feel engaged and watch. You know, because ultimately, if your promise is 15 seconds in, and let's just say you're doing a 10-minute video, and you don't answer until about 6 minutes in the video, you've got about 5.5 minutes to, you know, maybe use different forms of mediums, use different perspectives and cinematic shots and voiceovers or speaking to the camera or graphics or all these different things that are going to keep people engaged, you know, and keep them questioning themselves, what is the answer to, you know, what I want to know, why I clicked. And you know, you can get as serious as you want about this. I've seen some people kind of map it out. I personally think bullets are fine. If you write specific bullets of things you want to do and touch on and talk about, that'll all lead to it. And I've seen some people just wing it. Like they just kind of live their lives and just capture what's happening and then try and be interesting, you know, throughout it. And so whatever approach you feel like is best for you, I will say that no matter what, the most important thing is that you keep on, you know, driving that drama and that intrigue. You know, without drama, stories die. And so if you feel like the energy or the drama is building, and then there's a moment where it's like, you know, pointless or it doesn't add to that, I'd consider taking it out. Because ultimately, every frame or every part of the video as it builds, you're going to want to continue to have an upward, you know, momentum that drives to the, you know, answer. And if you drop off from that, and if it starts to feel boring or lame and maybe it's, you know, not interesting, people are going to leave. And you're going to know that by looking scientifically at the retention graph, and you're going to learn from your mistakes. But, you know, if you sense that, you know, when you're going through your edit, that it's maybe getting a bit boring, cut it out. Cut that part out, get to your answer, and then continue to refine and refine. And I want to be able to give you guys a couple examples of ways to drive attention, build drama. And let's go back to the answers or the title that we talked about before, Gifts Ideas for Gamers in 2017. And let's say that's your title. And maybe the person wants to know the four or five gifts. And here's one way you can drive attention to the 66% or end of the video. At the beginning, you could say, you know, hey guys, I'm going to give you five amazing gifts that you can get every gamer in 2017, you know, this holiday. Now, of all these gifts, they're really cool, and some of them range from inexpensive to not, but you guys have to see the number two option, because it's something I discovered that I don't think a lot of people have discovered yet. See, there you go. Now you're interested. You know that you want to know all five or all four examples, five examples, but now I've called out that the second example is one that's really going to grab your attention because it's something that no one else has talked about. And so that's how you draw intrigue. That's how you drive people, you know, to that number two. And what you'll see in the retention graph is sometimes people just skip to that. They'll watch and they'll look for the UI callouts for, you know, 4, 5, 4, 3, and then you'll see a big spike at number 2. You'll see a hump on your retention graph. That means people were interested in what you said and went to that or watched it or rewatched it. And that's what you want to do. You want to draw attention or drive drama and continue to get people to think about the question they're asking themselves. What should I buy? Gaming friend or friend who loves games or family member who loves games. And number two is probably the best gift for me. Once I've shot and edited the entire video following the QPA three-act structure, when I have that edit, this is where the science side comes back into play. I go back and rewatch my videos so many times, guys. I watch them, I think, maybe 10, 20 times each, and I'm refining. And I'm just kind of trying to sit and think about it from a, you know, really like outside perspective. And, you know, actually, as I think about this, it's not just science. This is actually the true form of art and science. This is me reviewing the edit to find where I can optimize it from a scientific side, but also from an artistic craftsmanship side of what can I add and remove. You know, there's a quote that's said about music a lot, and it is, instead of trying to add things to the song, you know, to make it better, it's try and remove as much as you can until you feel like you can't any longer. And so when I watch videos, you know, over and over, that's what I do. and I change the edit so many times. And, you know, I'm not trying to say you guys should do this too. This obviously increases your workflow a ton when you're starting out. You're just going to need to just make and create and put it out there, get some data, experiment and learn. But when you have a data set and when you have an audience and you're trying to make better and better content and learn from that, this is, you know, the best way to do it is look at your videos, your content as a viewer himself. Like, where did you sense yourself getting bored? Where did you feel like it maybe there's a cringe moment or a drug on? Like, just cut that stuff out. Like, there's actual video that I made the other day where I put an in real life like intro at the front, like me actually like on a skateboard skating around, but the topic of the video wasn't about it. And I made the edit and I watched it and then I was like, this just doesn't belong. I'm not following my own advice of grabbing attention in the first 5 minutes, making people like delivering the promise that this is the right video. Because if this video is about baseball and I'm on a skateboard not talking about baseball, then that's a problem. So I ultimately went and switched all the footage, kept the VO, kept the music, but I changed the footage to be more appropriate. And I feel like I did a better job at grabbing attention. And so go through, watch your videos, make subtle edits. You know, I've sometimes have had 10-minute videos that I've brought down to 6-minute videos just by doing this. And it's helped me dramatically. And so that's kind of the pinnacle of where the art and the science comes together. And it goes back to science, you know, for measurement. After the video is out there and people are engaging and watching it, go back and look at the data. Is it getting views? Are people commenting? Where are people leaving the video? How long are people watching? If they're leaving, what point did they leave? And then use that information in the first 24, 48 hours, maybe even 72 hours, to guide yourself for what you should do next, how you should change your video for the future. And that's when the cycle repeats. Then you look at what's happening, what's being talked about, to change your strategy, change your content strategy and your creative strategy, write some new titles, come up with some new ideas, structure it with QPA, 3-act structure, and then put that all together day in, day out, or as much as you can. So that's my process. That's where I've got to where I've got, both professionally and, you know, from an amateur perspective, creating and trying to learn how to marry art and science has changed the way I look at content, you know, forever. And I hope that it does for you too. I hope this episode was super helpful to you guys. You know, marrying the art and the science is critical. It's critical, guys, to being a creator. You got to be able to have the artistic chops and the talent to make good content from a visual and story perspective. But if you don't look at the data, if you're not data driven in your approach and how you create, you'll just be creating, you know, for a small, small group of people. And the goal here is to reach more. And the data is going to help you do that. So let me know, you know, comments for the podcast. Call in if you're on Anchor. I want to hear what you guys think. You know, where do you think you index? You know, look more at the art, more at the data. And if you don't know how to, you know, be more scientific in your approach to creating content or more strategic, let me know what questions you have. Call in with your questions and I will answer them. So thanks for tuning in. And until the next one, we'll see you guys. Peace.